Caution is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Dude, radio interrupting our conversation yet again.
We're having a very spirited conversation about shaving cream before the mics heated up. We're not going to dedicate the night to Martin Luther King because we rarely dedicate the night to anything. But I did have an experience this weekend that I wanted to relate to the listeners.
What happened?
As a good sign of what I would call race relations in this fair city, state, and country of ours. I was at, Supercross race this weekend.
Right.
The Supercross race, you're not going to find any more white people than out at Anaheim in Southern California at a Supercross race.
Interesting, I talked to a couple of patients this morning who are still hungover. I didn't realize.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize there was such a ritual of intoxication plus Supercross.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently that's some sort of requisite. It was.
Folks like to booze it up pretty good over there.
Evidently.
And there's 45,000 people at Edison Field, or the Big A's, we used to know it. And out of the 45,000, I'd say 13 black people. And that's security. Now, I'd say, seriously, I mean, it's just one of these things. You'd find more blacks at the opera than you would at the Supercross race. Just doesn't exist. It's not out there. There's never been a black rider. I don't think. Well, I never. Hey, close your eyes. You ever, besides.
There will be.
Yeah, there will be. But oh, calm down, Drew. Thinking, what can I say? What's the right thing to say?
No, not the right thing. It's like the reason it hasn't been. They haven't heard one because there hasn't been one yet. They will.
Well, no. But if you remember in the movie Earthquake, the guy Richard Roundtree rode a stunt dirt bike. Remember that? Did the loop the loop? Huh? Yeah, that's the only time I've seen a black guy on a dirt bike.
All right.
But the point is there is one black rider, and he rides in the 125 class, which is just under the 250s. It's kind of the minor leagues. The 250 is kind of the big event, and the 125 guys ride that for a few years and make their way up if they're any good. This guy's a 17-year-old phenom, and he's it's the Tiger Woods of Supercross. Except for this guy's not half Asian. He's just pure black.
Uh-huh.
And he seems like a nice enough guy. He's a young kid, 17 years old. And he's a good rider. And in the 125 main event, this guy started by getting the whole shot, as they say. He was out front. They all line up. They got about 22 riders. And they all take off when the gate drops. And they all funnel into one corner, and it's a little bit hectic, as you could imagine, after a 400-foot straightaway. And this guy was in the lead, but wiped out right on that first corner when all the traffic hit and went down. Well, he got back up, and he was in last place because everyone had gone past him. And this guy wove his way through the pack, and he was basically passing a rider or two each lap. It was a, 15, 16-lap race. It's tough to pass. I mean, you know, if you can make up two or three positions, you're doing pretty good. Well, this guy, you know, halfway into it, had made his way to, 10th, 11th place out of the 22 riders. And in the crowd, 45,000 white people, and not just, these aren't what you call left-wing liberal folks at these things. It's just a bunch of F-250 pickup trucks with lift kits. And, gun racks and bumper stickers that say, God, guts, and guns made this country free, and Sierra Club, take a hike to hell. I mean, these guys, this is as much redneck as you got in Southern California. Wouldn't you say, Drew?
Yeah,
yes.
Make no mistake about it. We got tons of redneck in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Southern California, but not so much in Los Angeles, Orange County.
Yeah. Right.
This is the cream of the Orange County redneck crop. Okay,
it's imported redneck.
If anyone was going to be racist, it would be these people.
Yeah.
Not many Democrats are, like I said, left wing types in this group. the crowd is going nuts for this guy each time he passes somebody. And with each lap, and as he gets closer to the front of the pack, the crowd is going more and more crazy. Well, he basically runs out of time and gets second. Had there been another lap or two,
wow,
the way this guy was going, he would have went from last to first, which is pretty well unheard of. And the guy was a good racer. Now, he was the only black guy who's ever been in Supercross, as far as I know, and certainly the only black guy out on the track with 21 other white racers, and the entire crowd of 45,000 white people was going nuts for this guy. And when he got up on the podium at the end, he got second place, and he got a louder ovation than the guy who got first place. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's not... I know there's a lot of talk of racism in this country and how it's still so prevalent and it still exists, but I'll tell you, if you're out at the Supercross race Saturday night, you would have seen that things have come quite a ways. And I'll bet you 30 years ago, this guy would have been dodging sniper shots out there rather than having an entire 45,000 group of white people cheering him on. So I thought that was very telling point. And it's the kind of thing I wish the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons of the world would experience, or open themselves to experience would be a better way to put it. I'm not sure about the blacks. Right. JD?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. When I was born, at least that's what I was told, the reason I say that is I've never even had my blood taken. I'm never sick, but when I was born, I supposedly had a hernia, and it caused one of the boys, I guess, not to grow right. And one of them's about, I think my left one's probably five times the size of my right one.
You're talking about your testes?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, by the way, Adam, I don't care what people say, you're one of the most brilliant people in this world.
Well, no, that's what they say.
Even though everyone says you're an idiot.
Well, okay.
Thanks, JD, but that seems to be the general consensus.
Yeah,
but thank you.
Okay. Anyways, and so I was wondering, you know, what I was also told that my chances of testicular cancer were higher.
Who told you that?
Doctor, when I was getting my physical exam for football back when I was like 14, I guess when I was like 6 or 7, the doctor actually thought I had cancer because my left one was so much bigger.
All right, you're getting this all confused, JD. I think what they were telling you was that there's concern that you might have an undescended testy, that maybe the testy on that one side is still up inside.
No, it's there.
All right, well, that's the only thing that can put you at risk for cancer.
Huh.
Okay, well, and the hernia itself does not do anything to your testy, though maybe...
Well, is that, I mean, it's just...
In fact,
know.
I'd be suspicious that there's something growing in the other one. You have some sort of cyst or something that's making it seem that much bigger.
Right.
And you only need one anyway. You only need one.
I was also going to ask, you know, I tried to get through before, and I was going to ask what my, I guess, fertility... But I just had my first child in August, so
right.
That's not really a question.
All right, but you got to check out whether or not that testy is descended for sure. You should be seeing a doctor regularly in any event. And if the other one is bigger because of something in it, you should know about that. Maybe that's one that now has a hernia, or maybe there's a cystocele there or something.
Go to the doctor. This seems like a fairly easy thing for them to diagnose.
And if it's a non-descended testy, then they're right. There is a risk of cancer.
I know guys have a certain amount of pride in that. They get on a roll. It's like, I'm 22. I've never even had a shot. It's like, all right, but your sack's falling off. You want to go on in? And by the way, 22, most people haven't had any major surgeries.
That's right. That's right.
Would you have your hip replaced at 19? Gallbladder at 14, cataracts at what, 11? No, you just sail through and then parts start breaking. It's like saying, I got a car, this car's got 1,400 miles on it, never been to the shop. Yeah, I know. It will. Don't worry.
By the same token, people have the exact same thinking as they get older. And when they're 80 and they come in with their first fill in the blank, I've had this car 150,000 miles, never had a problem. How could there be a problem?
I know. People are always, they're mystified by that. Yeah, it's now you got a problem. That's how it works. Hey, when I was 4 years old, didn't have a cavity. What do you think of that?
Wow, shocking.
Yeah. Phil?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
You guys, Who is this?
Hang on, Phil. Hold on, all right?
All right, guys, reorient Phil. Tara, talk to Phil. Get him oriented. Time, place.
Amber?
Ask him who the president is.
Amber, you're 13.
Yeah.
What's on in the background there, baby?
Sorry, it's radio.
That's all right. What's your question?
About crystal meth, what does it do to you in, like, the long run? Like, I know that it can... It'll, like, kill you, but I mean, like...
Yeah, it doesn't kill you. But it causes a fairly severe form of addiction, and you don't have to be using the drug every day to be addicted. It's something that very often people only use 3-4 times a week, and yet they can't stop, and that's the feature of addiction. And in spite of not stopping, increasing things happen to them as a result of their drug use. Most prominently, you get mood disturbances, memory difficulty, funny thinking, you get kind of paranoid, you start picking at your skin. It can be a real mess. You lose weight. Then you can get heart problems and strokes and other things. Over the long haul, the thing that we worry about most is that it can create a kind of damage to the brain that's very similar to what ecstasy does. It tends to damage the sort of the part of the brain that's responsible for sustaining your mood and memory.
Why? What are you doing, Amber? Not you, Drew.
Like, what am I doing? Like, what?
You doing drugs?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about your question. You doing speed?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. My whole family does it, really, and then I just got into it.
Oh, really? The whole family?
Well, yeah, basically, yeah, pretty much.
Well, all right. I mean, I see there's a long history of that. Certain
tradition.
Certain times the guys, you know, father's a tailor or a moil, and they end up getting into that, too.
Yeah.
It's almost like a family line.
Yeah, I've done just about every drug there is to do.
All right, okay. Amber, why not get a little help? This is you're on a bad trajectory.
I mean, like, who could I get help from so that it's like I don't want my family to know, but I mean...
What do you mean? Everyone does speed.
Well, not my mom. My mom and my grandparents and my dad and people like that.
Oh, they don't do it?
Not that I know of. I know that my brother and his friends and then my uncle, they do it.
Well, that's not really your whole family. It's pretty much your brother.
Yeah, my brother and my uncle and just their friends.
How much time do you spend with your uncle?
Not a lot anymore because I'm trying to quit.
How old is he?
28.
Remember the call we had? You didn't call here before, did you?
No.
Remember the call with the weird uncle with the bathing suit, the girl?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love that call. All right, Amber, you don't think you could stop if you stopped?
I've been trying.
Okay.
Real hard.
All right.
I haven't done any since.
Why don't you just... Oh, boy. 13.
You haven't done any in how long?
A couple of days since, like, Thursday or Friday.
All right. Can you... I know this sounds naive, but... I don't know, 13, aren't you a little more elastic or something? Like, you've stopped. You can't just continue stopping?
Interestingly, they are. The brain does function.
I know. 13. Well, you know why? Because when you're off something for a week, it's like being off something for a year when you're our age, maybe 10 years.
They tend not to have much withdrawal either, which makes it easier to stop. But
Amber.
Yes.
We think you can do this.
I want to try. I look like 19 or 20. And I've done just about every drug there is to do.
Okay, well, that's done. That was in your youth.
Oh, you checked that off now.
Now you're your ripe old age of 13, it's time to act like an adult.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Drew, what do you want to tell her? You got some place for her to go or something?
She really needs to look into, like, an outpatient adolescent chemical dependency program. They're around.
What?
Sometimes they'll meet once a week. It's hard to find a 12-step program that'll really suit a 13-year-old.
Really?
Yeah, so it needs to be a group that's just for
adolescents. What about like an Al-Anon type situation?
Alateen.
Alateen.
But that's not for drug use, though. That's for dealing with your parents who are drug users.
Well, there's elements of that.
Yeah, you could go to Alateen. You might find people there, but...
What about Al-Uncle?
No, I really think and I'm trying to figure out how to refer her to do this. She needs to, like, check with her school. How motivated is she to do this, though?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she kind of stopped. I mean, it's only been, you know, 3 or 4 days.
Somebody at 13 that's doing that many drugs is a bad sign. It is a precedent that's not going to stop. It suggests somebody that's going to have a lot of drug use and a lot of character problems going up if they don't do something now.
Okay. Talk to a counselor at school?
Yeah, start a counselor at school and then let them refer you.
Okay. Is it freezing in here?
It's for 3 nights in a row.
I know, but now it's really cold. It's colder. My mic is freezing. It's hurting my dainty hands. I never complain about it being cold in here, but it is cold.
You've got like a ski cap on.
And a sweater, and it's cold. I would be wearing socks, except for I'm too lazy.
Except you never do.
Well, the thing is, you know, why put on socks at 9:15 in the evening when you're only going to take them off at 1:30 in the evening? Yeah. That's my thinking. Ooh.
Yeah.
Drew with the mucklocks.
Ugg boots.
I got to get some of them. Where'd you get those?
Ann.
I got to get some.
Ugg boots.
I got to get some.
Yeah.
Phil?
Then you don't have to wear socks. Feels great.
Yeah. Phil, you're 33. What's up?
Hey, I met this girl, and she's married, and we just got to talking about some problems that her and her husband were having, and got to liking one another. And I don't want to break up their marriage, but then again, I don't want to stop talking to her. You know, that what if it doesn't work out for them.
Translate, Adam, please.
Where'd you meet her?
You
know, he weren't.
We don't work together, but a place she used to work at, my job kind of made me go there quite a bit. So we found a lot of time to talk.
What do you do?
I drive a truck. I move cars.
You transport cars?
Yeah.
Do you drive one of those trucks that holds like 10 or 12 cars on it?
Yeah.
So she's one of those dispatch, you know, women at the reception desk?
It's just funny when you're driving around cars. You know, it's an interesting gig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, I always look up at them. And you know what I like now? They put all that protective sticky film on everything. And I never used to do that. But sticks.
No. They actually used to have a chemical on there, and they go to the sticky film.
Oh, your cars used to have a chemical on them?
Yeah.
When
cosmoline.
You mean like a clear chemical?
Kind of like a fingernail polish for nails, yeah.
You mean like the clear stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And would they remove it when they sold it at the dealer?
Yeah, when it got prepped and detailed.
Jeez, why?
So they would transport the car with this sort of clear film on it. That was just good enough to protect it to be transported, and then they'd wash it off.
Why not just leave it on?
Well, because it's not like a clear coat. It's not sturdy enough. It's not that process.
It's just a temporary coat, is all it is.
Mm. Yeah. How long, when did they start doing that?
It's been a few years since they changed it.
Okay, and then they've been doing that clear coat thing for 20 years before that?
I'm not sure about how long, but it's been a while.
Been a while?
Yeah, quite a while.
Like since the 70s?
At least back when I was 16.
All right.
You know, I ain't that far back.
All right. So, Phil,
get a good answer.
I know. You're in love with this, or you're sort of in lust with this woman that you met when you delivered cars. She has a husband. She's sort of grooming you for her bullpen to bring you onto the mound when the husband, she finally has had an ass full of him and is ready to kick him out.
That's the way it looks, but we both don't feel that way.
Well, what's your situation, Phil?
Well, I'm single, and like I said, and it ain't lust. I do like her a lot. I really care about her. And
yeah. How long have you known her for?
Since this past summer.
She got some kids?
She's got one, yeah.
Have you dated really with her?
No, we haven't went out.
You think she's interested in you?
Oh, yeah. We've talked hours on top of hours.
And how old is she?
She's almost 25.
And how long has she been married?
About 3 years.
Is she looking to get out, or is she just restless?
She actually said she'd rather her marriage work, but it doesn't look like it's gonna because the way he acts, he doesn't act like he's interested anymore.
What's the problem?
I didn't want her to go into detail with all that. She just basically said he don't act like he used to act. He don't show that he loves her or cares like he used to.
Yeah. All right, well, what do you want to do? All right, Phil.
He wants to get himself in a position for her to say that to him in 4 years.
That's nice.
No. We get along great. You know, I could see us married, and she said the same thing.
What do you want to do? Phil, what do you want to do?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to stop talking to her, but yet I feel that while I'm there, it's making it more difficult for her to maybe fix her marriage.
Now, look, all you can do is you can use the Dr. Drew method, which is, you know, you can tell her you're interested in her. She already knows that. But you can tell her she's married, and that's an obligation and a situation that you have no part of. And then you back off.
It's torture to both of you to do anything different. It's unhealthy for a marriage. give her some time to try to give it a good shot and leave your phone number and let her know you're available when things do or don't work out.
I bet she calls within 6 weeks.
Well, we tried that once, and we called within 2 days.
No, yeah, but she can't call until she's extricated herself from this relationship.
Yeah. When she's done with the marriage, if that's the direction she goes, then you're available.
You tell her when she backs that Miata off of his rig and is free to hit the open road, then it's time to give Big Phil a call. Say that. Oh. I put that in language you can understand. It's called metaphor, Drew.
Nice.
You see?
Open road metaphor.
Well, the truck being a metaphor for the confines of a relationship, and the Miata that's traveling on the back of the truck being a metaphor for a free and emancipated woman.
Female, yes, of course.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, perfect.
And symbolically, when she pulls away from that truck.
That truck, onto his truck.
An open road, and she can get onto his truck.
That's good.
Where then she can then begin the complaining process all over about how he's not fulfilling
and
her.
And start grooming her bullpen elsewhere.
I guarantee that is going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Phil, if you're really not interested in breaking up a marriage, then you got to do that. And also, you're a 33-year-old guy. You're single. You got a CB and a big rig and one of those hot plates that plugs into the cigarette lighter. You should be able to find somebody.
You were just smitten with that, the hot plate and the cigarette lighter.
Well, whenever I would drive to Vegas, I'd stop at this truck stop.
The sandwich maker, right?
The sandwich. And there was something called a sandwich maker. They got everything you plug into those cigarette lighters. They got fans and hot plates and coffee makers and tea warmers. And they got everything. Everything but something that goes on your penis.
Oh,
that would be the smart, and that would be the seller.
I'm certain these guys have figured that one out.
All right. Well, there was one called the sandwich maker, and I was interested in that. Yeah. I want to know if it made sandwiches. I pictured a small Asian man inside of this box who would whip up a sandwich for you.
That'd be great. Mrs. Livingston.
Yeah. All right. Let's, I think she might be addicted to shoplifting. That's not
good. That's kind of timely.
That's no. It is?
Winona Ryder.
She got caught ripping something off at Barney's of New York like 9 months ago. She had her trial or something, I guess, now.
Mm.
But I don't know. I wouldn't call that, it's not an epidemic, is it?
No. It's just something's been in the press a little bit.
Mm. All right, well, Drew, I'd like to talk to somebody else. I don't deem that a problem. When we come back, we're going to talk to Matt. No? Now, we'll talk to our mystery caller, our special mystery caller, after this. Yo, Loveline in the hizzy. That's in honor of the great Dr. Martin Luther King. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's coming up here, Drew?
Unwritten Law, and then the cast of that 80s show.
Oh,
Jeremy McGrath, Joe Rogan.
Yeah. Okay. When was Unwritten Law in here last?
Not that long ago, was it?
No, I don't think so. Six months Anderson says. Sean?
Adam.
You're 22?
Yes, sir.
What's shaking?
Not much, man. I'm kind of have a little dilemma here.
Alrighty.
Me and my girlfriend kind of got together under circumstances where she thought I was a virgin. I don't know where, she got the idea from me.
Right.
I don't know where she got the idea. Well, I told her.
Right.
So. Yeah, and it's been, 7 months now, and things are working out real good, and I think I might love her, so I don't know if I should finally come clean and tell her that I wasn't a virgin, or...
Yeah, was she a virgin?
Yeah, she was.
Well, how's she going to find out?
That's what I've always heard honesty was the best policy.
How old is she?
She's 19.
No, not useless honesty. This is useless.
This is useless?
Yeah, it has no bearing.
Yeah, but I'm just scared, maybe we run into an ex-girlfriend or something down the line.
How many ex-girlfriends did you have?
Well, they're not all girlfriends that I slept with, but about eight.
You slept with eight?
Yeah.
Why'd you tell you?
He's bisexual.
You didn't sleep with eight. You had eight girlfriends.
How many did you sleep with?
How many girls have I slept with?
Yeah.
I've slept with eight girls.
Oh, you slept with eight girls.
Yeah, but they all weren't girlfriends. Some of them were kind of one-night stands.
Okay.
What made
you're not going to see any of them.
What made you lie to your current girlfriend?
Well, it was kind of like the whole plan. Like, when we were at a party, I told girls that I was a virgin, you know, that way I could hook up that night. And believe it or not, I mean, it works real well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like 4 out of the 8 times happened because of that lie.
That's almost 50%.
Yeah. I mean, that's not bad. That's good enough to get me in the Hall of Fame.
Did that happen with this girl?
No. Actually, she did.
Oh, who cares? Do you really care? Sean's just kind of an idiot. I don't want to talk to him.
Yeah. Okay.
He's an idiot.
Well, just who cares? He goes around lying to girls, tells them he's virgins. He's got four out of 8 times. It's enough to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's where I was over the top.
And who cares? Yeah. So either he tells her or he doesn't. Do you care?
It's better if he does.
Why?
Because it's uncomfortable living a lie. It's not a good
Why? If you're Sean, Sean doesn't have anything inside of him.
Yeah,
he doesn't not bother. He's as bothered by a lie as a lizard is.
I can't argue with you.
Okay. So who cares? Heather?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Hi.
What's up?
I love your show. I will listen every night.
Well, we enjoy your work as well. Thank you.
Okay, well, I think I'm addicted to taking things. I can't stop.
Yeah?
At all. Bad.
You steal?
Yeah, I do.
Like what?
Clothes, food, makeup, jewelry.
Have you been caught?
Twice.
Uh-oh.
What kind of food do you steal?
Like really expensive sushi and like...
How do you steal sushi?
You just do. I don't know.
Oh, all right.
You know, Heather, usually in my experience, this is... You put her on hold.
I'm done with her, too.
No, come on. Let me talk to her.
Listen,
pretend I'm not talking to her.
How do you steal sushi? You just do. I don't... That's an unacceptable answer to me. I thought, how does one steal sushi is a fairly legitimate question.
I think she's talking about sushi. It's packaged, you know, it's in a specialty store.
Well, see, that's where the problem comes, because I'm picturing her going to a sushi bar and cutting out.
Yeah.
What do you think? It's a package variety?
It's a package. It's
like like when you go into upscale market,
exactly.
You go to the back, you get a California roll.
Exactly.
But it's not dine and dash like we used to do.
No. That's no fun.
That's not stealing?
No.
Heather?
Yeah.
How did you steal the sushi?
It's just in the supermarket, you know. They have the little like
prepackaged
container.
Drew's right.
There we go.
Heather.
In my experience, in particular the way you're describing this, this usually is part of someone who's dealing with an addiction to something or coming off of something. Hmm?
Mm, not really, actually. Mm. I mean, like drugs and alcohol?
Yeah.
I smoke cigarettes and I drink and smoke pot every once in a while, but it's not like crazy addiction.
Do you stuff the sushi down your pants to get out of there?
Girls have bags, Adam.
Oh, you put them? Yeah. Because I could picture, like, there's some... I'm not going to say anything. No, Bert, you talk to her. This bitch smells like yellowtail.
Oh.
Okay.
Mackerel.
Oh, yeah, mackerel.
So, oh, my God.
No, you just drop it in the purse. And people don't, you know, are you an attractive... white female?
Yeah,
kind of. Yes, you probably slide under the radar at a lot of these places.
Yeah.
But the clothes, I know women do steal clothes.
But I feel bad, like, but I can't help it. Like, I'm in there and I'm like, yes, no, yeah, and I can't not.
Why do you think you do this?
I don't know. It's just, like, satisfaction. I, like, feel really good when I'm wearing something new. Like, I, like, just wear clothes once and I, like, don't want to wear them again. And I just want to get, like, new clothes. I don't even know.
Do you have money? Do your parents have money?
Yeah. That's, like, the worst part about it.
Is it part of the thrill of stealing?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, in the beginning it was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that. And now I, like, walk out with, like, $500 worth of stuff and it's, like, no, it doesn't even faze me anymore.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say, you know, when you do that, you know who pays for it. We do. The other people, but then I realized I don't buy clothes. So you got to take all you want. Burn the store down. I don't care.
No drugs, huh, Heather?
Well, I smoke weed, but it's not like crazy.
Drinking, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes. She's 17. She's dabbling.
It's typical party life. Come on now.
Yeah, see, I just think there's something more here.
Well, let me get Drew. Let me weigh in here. You know what the vibe I get from... Heather, and interestingly enough, her name is Heather because it was I was thinking of that movie Heathers, with all those just hot-looking rich chicks who didn't have anything to do with their lives, so they had to sort of infuse some excitement into it.
Strangely, with Winona Ryder in it.
Heather, yes.
In that film.
Very good point, Drew. See, we always come full circle and tie everything up on this show. Heather sounds to me, I'm picturing some Deb type.
Yeah.
Father makes a good money, but never around.
This is a feud to somebody.
She's bored, and she's restless, and she wants to be naughty, and she wants a little FU to daddy.
Yeah, I get all that, too. I'm with you.
Who's like an attorney at the office too much.
Or police chief or something.
And she's trying to... But here's what I'm saying. Everything in her life is taken care of. She's not worried about eating. She's not worried about... money for clothes, for food, for cars and stuff. So she's trying to interject some excitement into her dull life and some resentment.
But I bet you that I get like, you know, sex addicts, addiction going on here.
Well,
I just get
Drew, she said cigarettes, booze, and weed. She's 17. What do you want her? That's not enough addiction?
It's getting going. It's usually, I think this is all part of the whole thing getting going, the addiction.
Heather?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sexually active too, Heather?
Yeah.
Do you have lots of partners?
No, I just have a boyfriend.
And have you had multiple partners in the past?
No.
What's your dad do for a living?
He's an insurance agent.
Does he not pay enough attention to you?
No.
He insures stores against
stealing. No, he's in my life a lot. I live with my dad.
You do?
Or where's your mom?
I see her a lot, too, but they're divorced. They got divorced when I was young.
But how has he ended up with your dad?
I chose to. I used to switch off week to week.
So what is up with your mom?
I don't know. I think my dad, it was kind of a personal choice. Like, he was really into my life for, like, sports and stuff. So it was, like, he always gave me rides to school and stuff. So it was, like, easier. And he would have gotten lonely because my mom's, like, remarried.
Mm-hmm. So is he a drinker himself?
He was an alcoholic before I was born.
All right.
I was born.
Okay, but I think, Heather, I'd bet on this, that you've inherited that genetics. This just smacks of that to me. And that's why it's so rewarding to you to do these thrilling behaviors.
Mm.
Forget the dynamics that Adam. I agree with what Adam brought, you know, sort of the reason, but the fact that it is something so compelling to you is how your brain's made up, and this is a way of managing feelings, a way of feeling good about oneself when one needs arousal in order to feel good.
Well, what should
when one
she
feels
do?
Empty? Well,
maybe she should.
Man, these are hard things to.
Heather, why don't you rent that movie Scared Straight? Where those guys...
With the eyeballs that pop out.
My other tribute to, you know, since it is Martin Luther King Day, 700-pound black guys just screaming at you, give me your mother effing shoes! Give me your shoes! Give me them! Not so proud now, are you? Don't you eyeball me! You eyeball me, son? Here's my eyeball. That's right. You know what goes on in the joint? You know what happened to my eye? You know what happened? You know this eye came out?
Adam, your 300-pound black man sounds like Tommy Vu.
Playing Parcheesi. Guy threw the dice. One of them got in a scratchy corner and it got infected. But it could have been a shiv! Yeah, we had a rec hall. It's pretty nice. We got cable now. You're right in here. And let me tell you, the only law in here is the law of the jungle. Only strong survive and all those other cliches. Give me your shoes! What are you doing with all those kind of... You sell to friends?
Every ethnicity is distilled down to Tommy Vu for you.
You crying, boy? You crying. You miss your mama, don't you? There's no mama in the joint. Mm-mm. Only aunts and grandmothers.
Drew?
Yeah. And you think she should rent Scared Straight?
Yeah, it almost feels empty to give her a recommendation because I know she's not going to do anything.
Well, tell her what you should tell her.
Until the consequences are so severe that she has to do something. And then in that meantime, her marijuana addiction is going to evolve.
Anyway, I'll give her a little Scared Straight. Heather?
Yeah.
You lily ass! You lily white ass wouldn't last 10 seconds in the joint! I'll break you down like a shotgun, bitch!
What?
That's right. Huh? Yeah, all right. That's enough.
Heather, do you want to do something about this?
Yeah.
Heather?
Yeah.
Heather?
Yeah. Yeah! I have huge breasts!
What's that?
That's Minka.
Oh, it's Minka. They're all the same. All your ethnic types.
Well, how much...
Tommy Boom, Minka...
yeah, all right. Put Tommy Boom and Minka in the same room and tell me how much they vary.
And the pharmacist and...
They're all the same! They're all the same!
Black guy prisoner?
No, the black guy, that's different.
Oh, okay.
How dare you question my range? I was going, Anderson, we're playing back-to-back so Drew knows what's going on here.
Tommy Vu.
I have huge breasts, and I'm skinny. I'm not fat.
Nick, okay.
Here we come. What are you doing with all those condoms? You sell to friends?
Pharmacist? How about Tommy Vu? You do a Tommy Vu.
Listen, stereotypical Asian. What do you want? How much range do you think I have?
The black guy with the eyeballs sounded the same.
How dare you? That was different.
All right, but Heather, this is going to... I would strongly urge you to see someone about this. You're going to end up like Winona Ryder getting busted and being a world of unhappiness. This is the beginning of a,
of a process. Winona Ryder's a successful actress.
This is the beginning of a process that is progressive.
Yeah.
This is not going to get worse, and it's only until the consequences are profound that you would be likely to be willing to do something about this.
Yeah. You don't want to end up dating male models and living in extravagant houses up on the hill and going to parties with
and losing all that
with power brokers. Sean,
yeah,
you're 14.
Hey,
hey,
you guys, really got to play the Atom Boogie.
Oh yeah. Anderson.
Yeah, well, it's not called the Atom Boogie.
Heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't?
The Atom Boogie?
It's not called the Atom Boogie.
Oh, it's not?
What's or it maybe called? It is.
No.
I don't know what we call it.
You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Millionaire?
Oh, well, you got
Millionaire.
That's called Millionaire, right? Well, Sean, we'll play it after the break.
Okay.
You got a question, though?
Yeah, I got two, actually.
Are the short and long-term effects of mushrooms?
Right.
Is that two questions, the short and the long?
No, I got one other than that, too.
What's the other?
Can you answer the first one?
Okay, mushrooms get you really high, and long term they don't really know.
Long term, yeah, we don't really know. It
lasts like for 5 days.
No, that's
something else. Then it's triggered something.
You just get really high for like 8 hours.
If you have any kind of a locked in syndrome, that's a bad sign.
I meant the negative.
No, the negative is your side hurts because you were laughing your ass off watching infomercials. Yeah,
I imagine you could trigger panic attacks and anxiety.
Yeah,
are you having panic attacks?
Well, I haven't, I'm just, wondering, if I should do them.
Well, here's the problem, Sean. You're 14 years old.
Oh.
You're getting into hallucinogens.
No.
Wait a little while. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff you're supposed to do in college of thing.
Like a month or?
No, your brain is growing rapidly until at least 16. And the exposure to these kinds of drugs can, we believe, substantially impair its growth.
All right, what's number two?
Well, I have an asshole.
He was funny. He had kind of that. Drew, didn't they, when you were speaking to Sean, you didn't get kind of that jack-off gene going?
Oh, definitely.
Like sort of hair in the back of your neck standing up?
Absolutely.
That's what I was hoping. I don't want to talk to this guy feeling?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Isn't that all callers?
Tonight.
That's about 65 to 70% of them. But Sean, I don't know, Drew, you know what the tone is to that 14-year-old guy?
The jack-off guy?
Yeah, that tone. It's a cocky tone that immediately rubs you the wrong way.
Yeah.
They remind me, it's sort of, although I love this individual, reminds me of the guy from the computer commercial. You've seen this young kid that got this whole campaign? Is it Dell?
Yeah. Right.
He's standing there talking about, Mrs. So-and-so, you should buy the Dell for son because they all sound like him.
Yes.
Except for this guy's just sort of the nicer brother. They're the evil twin of this guy.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
But these guys also seem so, they're disrespectful. Not hostile, but sort of inappropriate. Inappropriate.
You don't like them.
Inappropriate.
Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll come back.
Oh, look at this.
And so Ed is calling in from Monterey. He has a sandwich maker. Plugs into his truck cigarette lighter. We're going to finally get to the bottom of that one. And we'll hear the
Millionaire.
The Adam Shuffle after this.
Love line.
Yeah, that's Drew. I'm Adam. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Look at it. Chicken. Chicken. Fuck. 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 Chicken. Mugga-da. Oh, shut up, you idiot. All right. Come on, Anderson. You can't slam the music off and expect me to have to stop. All righty. I'd like to take these headphones and line them with fur so I could wear them like earmuffs and warm my ass up in here. It is freezing in this studio. When we left off, we're going to talk to Ed. We're also going to hear the I'm a Millionaire. Is that what we're calling the Adam Boogie? Millionaire.
All right, let's hear it. I have not heard it yet.
Not heard it yet.
Nope.
Okay, this is the Millionaire, Adam Boogie. I'm going to say something amazingly profound right now. Blah, blah, blah.
Millionaire.
Blah, 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 blah.
My boyfriend, literally.
Why?
All you screwed up people, you can't articulate yourself any better than that. People.
I did some gay porn
with my mother, who I had sex with.
Oh, come on. Oh, no. You had a little yeasty on the peckaroo. All right, I'm giving you oral sex starting now. I just got done whacking off to my mom.
Mommy?
The world is your oyster. I mean, because that's all the world is. Drew is so jealous of my peckaroo. I'm the smartest of all the blue-collar guys, and I'm stupid. The point is if I can do it, anyone can do it.
My boyfriend, literally a millionaire.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep, that's
Who did
me.
That?
Anderson did it.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
Yeah, it's a talent, that Anderson. Spent the whole weekend on it. Oh, you weren't here when it aired.
No.
He's
an idiot.
You weren't even on the phone? Where were you?
I was in South America.
Oh, yeah. Good times. All right. Let's,
I like that.
Let's speak to
well done.
Ed.
Yes.
Ed is 40. Ed, do you drive a truck?
Yes, I do.
And you have that sandwich maker I've seen at the truck stops?
Well, actually, I'm sitting at a truck stop right now holding one in my hand because I've been listening to you for about a year, and you seem to lose a lot of sleep over it.
I do. Now, I'm picturing this thing as a sort of a hot plate with a top and a bottom on it, like where you'd make a grilled cheese.
Right. It's basically a cross between a waffle maker, and remember when you go camping, they have those sandwich presses that you use over the fire?
Yeah.
It's a cross between those two items.
Nice. And good for grilled cheese, maybe do a Reuben-type sandwich in there.
Basically.
Yeah, that's nice. So what else do they got that plugs into the cigarette lighter?
God, anything you can have. They have frying pans and saucepans and coffee pots and heating pads and food warmers.
Nothing for the penis, though.
No, you could probably use a heating pad for that, though, huh?
Yeah, I guess in a pinch.
Especially with as cold it is over there for you guys tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. I mean, it's twice as bad as it is out on the road, I'm sure. And what kind of rig do you drive?
I drive a Freightliner conventional.
18-wheeler?
18-wheeler.
And do you have that big sleeper compartment in the back?
That's right.
And is it roomy enough up there to get some sleep?
The newer ones have basically they're dual bunks. You have a bunk on the top and one on the bottom.
Wow.
About the size of a twin-size mattress.
Do you have a partner that you drive with?
Nah.
Well, why? Jesus.
But why? You mean so you just pull over the side of the road and sleep?
Yeah.
And how does that work? Do you worry? Does it lock up pretty good?
Yeah, you try to find places that are safe to park, you know.
Wouldn't it make sense to get a partner and just you could cover twice the territory?
Well, then you got to split the money.
Yeah, but you're working double time.
No, these guys
make less money that way.
Yeah, they just get themselves, they take some speed and they hit the road for 19 hours straight.
Now, with a partner, you end up driving less miles than you would solo. Because, like you say, you split it in half, but because there's two of you, you got
one. Well, it's after about 9 hours of me telling high school football stories, a guy just jumped out the window. Man, who do you talk to, though? Let's go insane.
NPR and Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
All right. Hey, do you got that satellite radio?
No, I was looking at that at truck stop while I was here, though.
That's
awful expensive, though.
I know, but...
Hey, you're the billionaire. How about buying me one?
All right. For every trucker... I will get one of those. I got one for Jimmy. He likes it. It's pretty cool. You get 100 stations. All right, let's talk to Tom, who's 13. Tom?
Hello?
What's up?
Wow. I'm on the air.
You are, Tom.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I don't masturbate, I guess, what you would call normally. I can't get off any other way than, like, humping a chair or something.
Don't believe him.
Yeah. I'm not lying.
No, I kind of do. Let's see. You mean...
What
you
kind
mean
of
you don't,
chair?
Huh? Well, I have a chair right in front of my computer, so, you know, I'm surfing the net. It's a, you know, it's a pretty padded chair.
You mean like you put yourself between the pads of the chair and the... Is that what you mean?
Or you just rub up against it? It's like an office.
All right, we gotta go to break. Hold on a second.
Oh, it's an office chair. Well, now I can see him raping it.
Yeah.
I thought he meant like an electric chair.
Oh, well, then.
I didn't know. Well, now it's all making sense, because I'm sitting in an office chair and I have an erection. All right, when we come back, we'll try to figure out how Tom works it on this office chair of his after this. That I turned into some excitement, Drew. Oh, now Drew's yawning.
I can't help it.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tom.
Tom humps office chairs.
He's 13. He does not masturbate using his hand. He uses things like chairs, like when he gets on the computer and looks
that
at
that was a nice sound. Thank you.
Looks at things, yeah. Now, we're asking him how he humped that office chair.
Tom?
Hello?
How do you do that?
Just rub up against it?
Don't help him.
Basically.
Oh, Drew. Why do you have to do that, Drew?
Just ask him.
Why? I'm saying to him, explain to us how you do this.
You know what?
And then you slide in and say you just rub up against it, and he goes, yeah, basically.
Because
and now we're done.
Because you know how our callers are.
No,
it's 5 minutes.
I know how you are. I want to know how he does this.
All right.
Rub up against it doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay, well, you can tilt the back so that it's almost a flat slope with the seat, and basically you just turn around and hump the chair, you know, rub up and down.
You lay on it after it's reclined?
Yeah.
Forward, facing forward?
No.
Then
the back is too high, but sideways to the monitor of the computer.
Are you on your belly?
You happy now?
Yeah.
You're on your belly. Damien, demonstrate on the piece of office furniture here.
All right, here's the chair.
Phone screener Damien has the chair. Oh, you're going in backside.
No.
Damien.
I think I'm going to vomit, by the way.
Put your dork in a pencil sharpener.
Ow.
Okay, so Drew was right. I have no idea what you're doing to this chair, but why don't you start getting used to your hand, because you can't take that chair camping.
Well, I've never been able to, have an orgasm before with my hand.
Okay, well, you're 13.
How many times have you done it with a chair?
A lot,
okay.
I masturbate like once a day.
Mm. Oh, on the chair?
Yeah.
Who else uses that chair?
Just me.
Just you?
Yeah.
Okay. The chair must be a mess. It must look like a cupcake when you're done with it.
No.
Okay. All right, well, start using your hand. Just go ahead.
Problem solved. You're releasing him to use the hand, yes?
Well, here's what I'm saying. At 13, I remember when I was just getting started, you have no technique. You don't know what to do.
Mm.
And here's the danger. You ever see those people that tie their shoes a weird way?
Because you're getting that habit.
My dad does this. He ties his shoe in a really retarded way. Only the Corollas could figure out a slow way to tie a shoe.
Mm.
He actually kills time tying a shoe. But he does this thing where he makes the loop and he like threads the other side through. He doesn't do it in a normal way. Well, and now the guy's been doing it for 70 years this way. He's probably lost 5 years of his life tying his shoes. Although he probably wears slippers these days. But the point is
that's you.
That's me. Once you get going on something, it's hard to get off it. So yeah. Start working the hand in. Find a lotion you like. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
My boyfriend and I broke up this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of having a hard time dealing with it.
How long were you dating him?
2.5 years.
Was it a long-distance relationship?
Yeah.
Over how long, compared to that 2 years, was it long distance? Whole time?
Most of it, actually.
How far away did he live?
In London.
How often did you see him?
Average about every 4 to 6 months.
That's not a relationship.
Yeah, so you've missed him twice so far.
Yeah, that's not a relationship, Sarah. Why do you let something like that obsess you?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you're depressed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, did he break up with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was no relationship. Did he even have to break up? Did he?
Maybe he broke up with you 6 months before you knew it.
Maybe.
And how'd you meet this guy?
It was just sort of a chance thing, I guess.
On the web?
Yeah.
Sure. Why is it we can never get an answer? How'd you meet this guy who lives in London?
A chance thing.
Just a chance thing. Oh, yes. When I close my eyes, I now have a vivid and graphic picture of how you guys met. Internet, huh?
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 19, going to be 20 pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. You're 24. That's too young.
Yeah, I know. It's not like a big surprise that it's over. It's just...
Well, what's up, baby? What's gone wrong with your life that you're dating teenagers who live in the U.K.?
You're fat.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, true. It's true, right? Are you a little bit overweight?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've gone abroad to London where they don't care as much about that stuff. This is a good time to focus on you, Sarah. You know, diet, lose a little weight, get some exercise, do a little better at your job.
See if you can
attract some guys stateside.
What do you do for a living, Sarah?
I'm a sales assistant.
Okay. How's work going?
Just fine.
All right. Are you living out of the house?
Yeah.
Do you have a roommate?
No.
Do you have any friends?
Yeah, I've got friends.
Do you date, meet any guys?
No.
Yeah. No, she's depressed because she doesn't think she's going to find anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to.
Well, you're in love with Nigel?
No.
Well, why don't you want to meet anybody else?
Sure, I just...
Well, you're depressed. All right?
You have some problem with intimacy that you could fall in love with someone that you don't have a relationship with, and then as a result of that not working out in some sort of idealized fantasy, condemn all relationships. I don't want any relationships. I can't stand this
anymore. I'm picturing the kid from HR Puffin Stuff.
No.
With the flute?
Yeah, Freddy, the magical flute. Do you look like that kid?
No.
Hmm. How about Davy Jones from the Monkees? Did he look like that?
No.
I'm out of guesses.
He was about 5'8".
Hmm. All right.
Dark hair, blue eyes.
Dark hair, page boy?
No, blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, okay. Well, he was 19, way too young for a sophisticated woman like yourself. So, Sarah.
Yeah.
How much overweight are you?
Quite a bit.
Well, what are you?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've actually been weighed.
Well, let's say 250?
Yeah.
Okay. Damn, bitch!
No, that's not me.
I mean, that's me, but... Oh, she can't hear that, Anderson? Can they never hear it?
Well, they usually can. I just decided to not.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Hey, Sarah?
What?
All right, so you know what you need to do? You need to exercise. And you need to not wallow in your own misery. You need to get out. You need to start taking walks, and you need to move a little.
There's something very, very wrong with your...
And you're depressed.
You're depressed, and there's something very wrong with your sense of yourself in relationships.
And it's not about this guy. It's about you. So what can you do?
I don't know.
Well, you're going to have to pull yourself up and get going. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I'm an instructor at a fat camp or something, but... And use all those cliches about pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and all that. But you're a depressed person. Well, you love fat camp, don't you, Lardos?
You need to find a way to...
I would be good at that.
To establish real connections with people who actually care about you. You need some real relationships. And using their support, then you need to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do some things, make some change, take some risk.
But you can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps if you're 300 pounds.
You can't do it by yourself.
The straps will break. Yeah. You gotta start moving. I know what it's like. Drew, you've been depressed.
Ugh.
What would you say you've been depressed? 48 out of your 47 years?
No, about 20.
Right. And you want to do nothing. You want to eat and watch TV.
Huh.
And the only thing that makes you feel better is the thing you want to do the least, which is get up and move.
I can remember one point when I was trying to, you know, make decisions about things. I'm looking up at a wall, like a brick wall that went to infinity. Couldn't see the top of it. And I had to just go one, like, brick at a time and just start trying to climb it.
Oh, I thought you were actually looking at a wall.
One brick.
I see.
Just start out.
Well, look, I know it sounds like trite and cliche, but you just got to start, like, moving and sweating and doing. Just start doing stuff. And forget about this 19-year-old. From the UK, for Christ's sake, Sam?
Yes.
You're 44?
Yes.
What's up?
I was just kind of curious about an addictive personality and where you go from there. I mean, my entire life, I think I've been addicted to one thing or another. Though I'm not a sleazebag or anything. I've maintained a job. I have a home. I have kids. But it's like everything I do, I get addicted to. I mean, whether it be cocaine, I probably snorted more cocaine than most people have seen in their life, and I survived that. I passed that. And then I go...
Well, wait a minute.
No, you just
quit. What if you saw, like, Scarface, like, six times?
Okay, well, maybe not as much as Scarface, but right, real close.
Yeah. No, you just transfer over to something else. That's not passing
exactly.
That's just cross-addicting.
Even if it's gambling. I mean, now, it's no matter what it is.
Yeah, well, it's not a personality. It's a biology. And unless you have that biology treated, it progresses.
What do you mean biology?
It's the addiction is a disorder of the reward centers in the brain. And it's a genetic predisposition that once you sort of throw the switch on those primitive cells in that reward system, they perpetuate a drive that grows with time. And it's a part of your brain that does not have logic, does not have reason. It's outside of your conscious influence entirely. It just creates drive. And it also anticipates a certain level of reward. And the longer you're exposed to these things, the higher the level of reward that part of the brain requires.
Drew, I don't think she understood anything you just said.
Yeah.
Do you think she did?
I don't know.
This way.
Sam?
Yes?
Sam,
hello?
Sam the female? Did you understand what Drew was saying?
Yeah, I understood completely, but how do you stop it? I mean, how do you stop it?
You get treatment. You get treated. You've had this disease your whole life. It's going to take quite some time to undo it. You've got to go somewhere and get treated.
You mean go see a psychologist?
No, I mean go to a comprehensive chemical dependency program.
Why? She's not hooked on anything now. Is she?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm, yes.
Of course. She is. Of course.
Now I'm doing methamphenamine. I'm, you know,
oh,
same
okay.
thing.
All right,
you have to be treated. It will not stop without treatment.
Close your eyes. Can you see, Sam? You have kids?
Yes.
Uh-oh. How old are they?
But I'm a good mother. See, that's just it. I mean, I do this really secretly. I mean, it's... No, I'm kidding you.
As opposed to, who, Medusa?
No, yeah. I'm not kidding. I belong to the PTA, the whole works. I mean, believe me, I have this all down to a science.
Sam, I know you feel like it's secretive, but it's just two sentences into this phone call, we knew you're an addict.
So,
really?
Yeah. All right, babe. So, how are your kids? Are your kids doing okay?
My kids are great.
All right.
They really are. They're great. They're A students.
All right, real quick. What are their names? Fast.
Now, come on. I'm not going to tell you that.
All right. You don't know, do you?
No, you know one of them,
but you don't know the other one.
All right. Maybe I don't.
Okay. You know, you call the one Blondie.
No, I'm not
Red.
Blonde.
No, not you. Your kid.
Oh. What does that mean?
Okay, baby. You lose your sense of humor when you get high a lot, too, don't you?
I didn't.
She sounds like Fred Sanford. All right, baby, you got to get into some treatment now. You can't be doing a bunch of speed and trying to raise kids. All right? Yeah. Where's your husband?
He's at home.
He's home?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
What's he into?
What is he into? Well, he does. I mean, he does a few things, but he's not like crazy. I'm an open. We are crazy for doing it. That's what I'm saying. It's just it's. I know that it's a dead end.
Yeah, he's an addict too. Yeah. Like your kids are being.
He smokes pot.
He's beer marijuana.
Your kids are being raised by a couple of addicts. Come on, that's horrible. You got to get some help now.
Do something about that.
Yeah, look, you're 44. What do you want to get high? Yeah. You've been getting high for 30 years. That's not enough.
Yeah, it is enough.
Don't you think 30 years of getting high, you haven't got your fill? Come on, baby. It's time to grow up. You have 44 years young. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, so you got to get into a program now. You got to get serious about this, Sam.
So where do you find these programs? What are they called? What do you call them?
Chemical Dependency Treatment Center. Just call local hospital and ask if they have chemical dependency treatment. You want a comprehensive program.
It's amazing when you make it 44 years and you just never heard anything, you don't know anything. I guess that's what drugs is, right?
That's when you're just focused on drugs, nothing else matters. You know, nothing else really gets in.
So you're either high or you're focused on drugs.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah, you're busy pursuing drugs, thinking about drugs.
It's weird. It's as if you've been a gymnast in the former Soviet Union for 30 years. And you didn't know there was a man on the moon,
right.
And you never heard of anything, and everything's new. This would be a kind of interesting way to go through life.
It is. As a workaholic, I can tell you, I missed those 10 years when I was working excessively.
Yeah, but you're lucid at least.
But
you can absorb information.
Now I can, but I still don't know what happened for those 10 years. That's what you can be asked about all the
time. Yeah, but the only thing she knows is how many grams are in an 8-ball.
Right.
Was that 3.5? And we never did figure out why they call them 8-balls, if it's a gram. You know, if it's like 3.5 grams. It's
1/8 of an ounce.
Oh, is it 1/8 of an ounce?
Yeah.
Is it 3.5 grams and a
24
grams?
24 ounces, 24 grams. I don't know.
Figure this out.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, look at the dictionary.
Not every answer's in the dictionary.
Yeah, let's see what this one is.
Tracy?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've got a problem with my relationships.
All righty.
Every time I start to date anybody and they get interested and semi-serious, I just drop them. And last year, in January, I got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, you know, he's not around anymore. And so basically I was single for a year. And I thought, you know, this problem would go away because I understood how it felt being lonely and needing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you have the child?
Yes, she's here with me right now. Actually.
And so you need someone to help you with that child, or something?
No, I'm very sad. You know, I'm going to medical school. Well, I'm about to go to medical school. I'm taking my prerequisites right now. So I need a man to support me. It's just, you know, I would like to have a mate, you know. And I started dating a guy in this December. And it's happening again. He's becoming less attractive, and little things that he's doing is getting on my nerves, and obviously it's me.
Yeah, you've got some real intimacy problems.
Yeah, really? You think so?
Yeah. Profound.
I thought she was being sarcastic.
Yeah, I
did. She said really.
No. I'm being serious.
No, I know you are. That's the scary part.
Shut up.
Yeah, you do. You got intimacy problems.
Yeah?
Here's a book for you.
You can't tolerate people tolerating you.
Exactly.
That's my problem.
Here's a book for you called Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters. Go read that book. It talks very nicely about how this is all put together in your brain.
They have it.
Give me that title again.
Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters.
Okay.
Okay, and you read that, and you're a smart person. You've kind of,
yeah.
That's a very, very accurate rendition of how your head works.
Okay, so you think I could overcome this or something?
The purpose of reading that book will be to convince you that you need to get some help.
Okay, and because how would I go about getting home?
Well, you're a student now. You go to student health services, mental health services. This is probably issues of attachment. And or some, you know.
Yeah, because I had some extremely bad alcoholic parents.
Ooh, there you go.
You going to be a doctor?
Yeah, hopefully.
Not a nurse?
I don't really want to be a nurse, but if I had to, I'd be an RN.
That was a joke for Adam.
Yeah, only crazy broads are nurses.
Whatever.
Where are you? Where are you going to school?
UTA.
All right. Didn't we go there?
Yeah.
All right. Good times there, baby. I was just thinking of Dee Dee Pfeiffer's husband.
He was a dentist. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, Jesus, did I have to bite my tongue. There's nothing. Drew doesn't want any. Drew believes that now that he's a doctor, no one else can be one.
No, it's not that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No, it's not that.
And I make fun of everyone who goes to junior college. And we're talking to Dee Dee Pfeiffer, and she was saying that her husband was such a normal guy, great guy, not in the industry. And I said, what's he do for a living? She goes, well, he's a dentist. Well, not quite a dentist, but just about. And Drew said, where is he going to? What was your question?
I said, where's he going to dental school? Oh, USC, UCLA. After those guys,
he was going to junior college at the time. That was a problem. But essentially, I was as close to being a dentist as he was. And, yes, I think, I think Damien was actually closer to being a dentist because he
went to a dentist.
You own Floss? Yeah, I think you're closer. Oh, no. No. Interesting. So, we didn't say anything, but, you know, it's hard for me not to say something when I hear about junior college. And she's a very nice woman, and he, by all accounts, he seemed like a nice enough guy, but I just heard junior college, and I almost had to say something, but I minded my P's and Q's.
Hey, he hadn't fallen asleep yet, then?
He hadn't fallen asleep yet on the sofa.
He was asleep for the second half, too.
I know. I have a way of doing that to people. Mm-hmm. Martha?
Uh-huh.
You're 18?
Yes.
You're a virgin?
Yes.
Boyfriend is tired of trying to have sex with you?
No.
Not really.
He tried to.
I mean, he tried to have sex with you. He's not tired of trying to convince you.
He can't make it happen.
Oh, no, we tried, and it's like, I don't know, like, we'll be to the point of it, and, like, we'll be, like, you know, pulled off, everything going on, and then, you know, he'll be, like, almost going in there, and once he's about to, like, just go through there, it's just, like, stop and get away from me.
Have you had any sexual abuse or any trauma or anything that would make you freak out about that?
Well, when I was 13, I almost got raped by my own uncle. And
that's nice. Do you deal with that at all? Do you have any treatment for that?
I really never, like, went to therapy for it or anything because I just, like...
Did anything happen to you before that?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, other than being raised in a sort of environment where...
Yeah.
The uncle's going to have a pass at her at 13.
Wow.
What happened? How did it break up? How come he didn't rape you?
Because I guess he was in drugs or something. I guess he was...
Yeah, but how did it not happen?
He, at the end, like, he had told me, like, when I had all my clothes off and everything, he was, like, grabbing my legs and kissing me in my legs and everything, I guess. He just, like, suddenly reacted and goes, he noticed, he knew what he was doing, and he just, like, stood there and...
Right.
He goes, put your clothes back on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that happened to me, yeah. Let's just have it. Just give me a hand job. Does that... He didn't settle for that?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know, something struck him. I guess that's good. Mm-hmm. That's a little weird.
No, but that doesn't, like... I just, like, that happened to me when I was 13, and I just, like, put it off, like, think about it, but when I'm with my boyfriend, it doesn't come to my head, so it's like...
No, but it goes to your vagina.
Right, still affecting you.
Yeah, like, and I feel like, sometimes, I feel bad because sometimes, like, when we'll be together, like, I'll get it started, and it's like, I can't finish
All right. Are you using any birth control?
Oh, no, no.
Why not?
Because, I don't know, I haven't really done anything yet.
Or will you?
You're gonna.
If you're going to, you better get on the pill, right? Or at least have the emergency contraceptive pill.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But I feel like, I don't know, it's weird.
All right, you got to take it a month before you can actually be protected.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so let's get on it, okay?
Hey, baby.
Huh?
Oh, look, how long have you been with this guy?
For 6 months. I've known him for, like, a couple of years.
6 months, okay. You love him?
Too much? Yes.
Okay, but look, here's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing right now? Are you in high school?
No, I'm actually going to college.
Junior college.
Yeah.
All right, that's not college.
Oh, well.
Yes. What are you going to do? Go to that junior college for 14 years?
No, I'm going to Bakersfield College right now. I'm going to go be a teacher's development teacher for teachers, student development. No.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
You won't be able to do any of that if this guy gets you pregnant.
Oh, I know that.
And it will work out soon, and you won't be prepared. So go down to Planned Parenthood. You're a smart girl. You're in college. And you go get yourself some birth control and get that worked out. Then you just relax with the guy. I mean, you work into it. I'm sure Martha's seen a little chaos in her day with the crazy drugged up uncle and everything, and God
probably
knows what
she
else.
She really likes this guy. If
but
he's a decent guy.
She loves the guy.
She can overcome this.
And it's sort of familiarity. And once you get it down, you'll be fine. But again, birth control. Okay, we'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back. That's my song. My theme, baby. See that pumping out of my Ferraris? I pull out in front of the club with the Targa top stowed in the back. Chicks checking me out. Leather jacket on. Driving gloves, perhaps. Tipperillo cigar coming out of my mouth. Paparazzi snapping shots. Jump out of the Ferrari speed racer style. Slide across the hood, and then it's right over the velvet rope. This way, Mr. Corolla. Now he's in the club. Making my way through the crowd. Bartender knows me. Of course, my favorite drink. Martini, extra dry. Served, not shaken. Slides it down the end of the bar. A couple of hot supermodels have checked me out. They want to ride in the Ferrari.
Huh?
But I back them off
what?
A little bit.
It says what? Huh? Oh, we're back on the air. Okay. Oh.
You didn't hear my story, Drew?
No, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I don't think you're listening, you know?
No, don't start him again, please.
Michael?
Hello.
You're 23?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Man, I'm glad to finally get on the show. I've tried calling a lot, and finally, it's great to talk to you guys.
Good to have you on.
Just wanted to let you know, Adam, I love your comedy. And, Dr. Drew, I wish you were my doctor, man.
All right, Mike.
Thank you.
What's up there, buddy?
Actually, I was just calling because, a couple reasons. Been having a problem with, I think, depression lately. Could be for a few reasons. I'm not really too sure. But, I have a bottle of, Wellbutrin, about a month and a half supply that I was going to start taking. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Dr. Drew.
Well, depression is not... If you really are having a major depressive episode, it has about a 20% chance of being fatal. So if you take any other medical condition and say it's a 1 in 5 chance of dying from it, you're not going to run around treating yourself.
Well,
and these medications are actually very difficult to manage. There's no way you can assess them yourself, whether or not they're having an adequate effect. You need an objective monitoring.
Well, where did you get the Wellbutrin?
I actually got it. It was my brother's. But just kind of give you a background on it. About 3.5 years ago, I started taking it to quit smoking. And it worked for a while, of course. I mean, I quit smoking for about 4 months, but eventually started. And about 6 months ago, I went to see my doctor. I was having problems with anxiety. And I was first taking Zoloft for a while. But I had just awful side effects from that, so I discontinued taking it. And he wanted to switch me to Wellbutrin.
All right.
But I was a little wary about switching to another antidepressant. I was a little concerned about the side effects. But, you know, from listening to the show, that's kind of one of the ones that you recommend, Dr. Drew.
It doesn't have the sexual side effects. But if you're having a lot of anxiety, it's not necessarily the best one for you.
Well, Drew, what if he took a pill in the morning?
Well, I don't even know if he has depression. You understand? I mean, is there anything else going on? Are you doing drugs or?
Well, I mean, I have been on, and this is one of the other things that I was talking about. I've been taking narcotic painkillers for about 3 months
All right,
now.
Forget it. Forget the antidepressants. Forget it.
What are you saying? Forget it?
Forget it. No way it's going to have any effect. You need to deal with that first.
Yeah.
Period.
I'm actually about start weaning off of it next week.
Well, when you've been off it, you're in a recovery program and you're 6 months, 60 days sober. If you're still having depression, you're going to feel like just crap for 60 days, and you're going to feel an intense dysphoria, depression that's profound. They usually will go away by itself, about 60 to 80% of the time.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
So
we're all behind you.
You don't have depression at this point. At this point, all I know you have is opiate addiction. So we'll see if it actually turns out to be a depression.
Terrell?
Yes.
You're 30?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you have our 8-ball answer?
Yeah, because it's about the size of a golf ball. If you cut an ounce into 8 pieces,
yeah,
it weighs 3.5 grams.
8 ounce.
You doing ball?
Goodbye.
You doing blow right now?
Terrell, his question was how many grams in an eighth of an ounce?
In an eighth of an ounce?
8-ball.
3.5.
That's what we asked.
3.5 in a 8-ball.
That's right.
And what is an 8-ball? Is that an eighth?
Yes, an eighth of an ounce.
All right.
Oh, man, his nose sounds like he's on a cocaine.
Maybe he's really high. Terrell, are you doing blow now?
No, I don't do blow.
They just sell it?
No. I can get it for you.
All right.
Speed.
How much? What are you doing? What drugs are you doing?
Just smoke weed.
Oh, okay.
No speed.
No.
How much is coke an ounce, a gram now?
A gram?
Mm-hmm.
About $40.
Ooh. Gotta get into that. Mental note. Get into coke.
No, I don't do coke. I go to sleep.
No. Okay, buddy. Oof. What's going on with Terrell in his life, by the way? And Drew, stop throwing that pen. Terrell?
Yes.
What happened to your plan?
My plan of?
Life.
Being a dentist.
What's going on, buddy?
I live in a small town where nothing happens.
Okay. Are you able to work?
Oh, yeah, I work.
All right. What do you do?
I'm a cook.
Okay. What kind of cook?
A lot of addiction.
Short order cook.
Short order?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough job, man.
It is.
Yeah. Does the time pass quickly or does it go slowly?
Depends on if I'm busy or not.
You're busy, it goes by pretty good?
Yeah, if you're cooking burgers and flipping steaks all night, then yeah, it goes pretty fast.
Yeah.
You do that smoking pot every night?
If as often as I can.
Okay.
Kind of mellow it out.
Jeez, I could go for a Denver omelet right about now.
I don't do breakfast.
Oh, you don't?
No.
No. I really
don't
want
like
a Denver
getting up
omelet.
Early.
Yeah. You know, they should have an omelet named after California. I want other cities
California
or states.
Omelet?
Well, like L.A. omelet. You know, like
San Diego omelet.
San Diego. Why does Denver get their own omelet? And then there's other ones. There's that kind of Southwest stuff, but that's just regions, you know. I think L.A. is a big enough city where we should have our own omelet.
Doesn't roll off the tongue cut as nicely.
Yeah, give me
a Tucson omelet.
Give me an L.A. omelet. L.A. omelet sounds like there'd be
Vegas omelet.
L.A. omelet would be like a syringe and a piece of shopping cart in there. Like that doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, well, what's in it? Well, one of those bean bags, a SWAT team fires at a hostile crowd, and a syringe. Oh, and Jack cheese. So I go for that Denver omelet.
Santa Barbara omelet?
You know how I get my omelets, Drew? It's a hot tip for all you Loveline listeners who enjoy your omelets. You get them scrambled. It's nicer that way.
As opposed to flipped.
Yeah, flipped, you get that rubbery outside and then all the innards are sort of watery and in there. You get the whole thing scrambled together, much nicer. Much more consistent. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa!
Yeah. Hey, Drew, I'm trying to help.
Hey, I'm hungry.
I know.
Dina.
Yes.
Hi, what's going on?
Back in 94, when I was in college, I had Bell's palsy on the left side of my face. And they diagnosed it as like a sinus infection. But they didn't, I mean, doctors were bringing in medical books and reading them to me, which didn't make me feel very good.
Yeah, Dina, there really is no definitive known cause of Bell's palsy. It's thought to be a virus.
Is your face paralyzed or is it tick? Or
no,
what?
It just goes out. Whole side
but
goes
actually,
out?
On Friday, the right side of my face went paralyzed. The left side healed in 6 weeks back in 94, but on Friday, it happened again to the right side.
Okay, I would urge you to see an infectious disease specialist.
Okay, because I read on the internet that they found like herpes simplex 1 maybe the cause, so I don't get cold sores.
Well,
my face goes numb.
There's a number of viruses, some of them varying degrees of seriousness, that have been associated with recurrent cranial nerve palsies, and a facial nerve is one of the cranial nerves.
This is, you know, it's no fun, but...
Yeah, there's something going on here.
What do you look like when you have it?
I look like Popeye, because I try to smile, and it's like halfway.
Yeah. Couldn't you just, form a piece of plastic you could put in your mouth to prop up the sagging side?
That would help.
Like Jack Nicholson when he played the Joker or something?
Yeah. Hey, you know what they say, though? I mean, there's maybe you can make some lemonades out of the Bell's palsy lemons, but you know, they say when, you know, people get like facial paralysis, they don't get the wrinkles. You know, they don't get all the crow's feet and everything because they're not smiling or laughing.
Right.
You know, all those wrinkles that are in your face are basically from you scrunching it up.
Right.
A little piece of notebook paper.
It's good.
And if you just sit there with that sort of...
It's all flat.
Drooling with that kind of, I can't control my bladder look.
That's why you put that toxin.
That Botox.
Botox line of toxin, yeah.
Yeah. It makes you can't move anything.
That's right. The muscles are flaccid. But listen, there are... You know, there are disorders of bone that can cause the bone to grow in around the facial nerve, the growth hormones creating tumors from the pituitary gland.
Yeah.
Their HIV has been associated with recurrent facial, recurrent cranial nerve palsy. So it really needs a very thorough evaluation.
Well, so get that. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't mind a little of that Bell's palsy. Give me an excuse, you know.
For what?
You
not to work.
People tell you stories and they want a reaction.
You have to not work. And they'd be like,
I couldn't work?
You can work here and do radio, of course.
I can do radio, but not TV.
Yeah.
Why? I couldn't be the Bell's palsy guy.
Remember Ralph Nader when he had that?
Yeah, I don't remember when Ralph Nader had that. Ralph Nader looks like he's had it since his bar mitzvah. All right, let's say we got to take a break. But Eric?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes.
And... Your girlfriend's dad touched your penis?
Yeah.
Well, how did he do this?
Well, I just met him. We were leaving, and then as we were going out the door, he said, have her back by midnight. And as she kind of walked down the steps. And then when I came out, I was being ready to walk out, and he turned around and just kind of, he didn't, like, grab it, but he just kind of tapped it and, like, kind of lifted up a little bit.
You mean, like, grabbed your nuts and said, you better take care of her?
Right. That's kind of how I took it. I don't know.
You understand what I'm saying?
Issues or problems or what? I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. You're saying it wasn't a gay move. It was a Godfather kind of move.
It's like, yeah, it'll tear your nuts off if you make the wrong move.
Interesting. You want to hear my Godfather impersonation?
All right.
Why you buy all these condoms? You use enough for a whole regiment. You bad for business, Round Eye. Huh? Not bad. Love in the love line. I'm Adam, that's true. Right back to the phones. Eric?
Yeah.
All right, so how long you been dating this girl whose father touched your genitalia as you left to take her on a date?
We've been dating about a month now.
Was that the first time you'd met him?
Yeah, that was the first time.
Now, again, was he sort of grabbing your junk like, this is mine if you misstep with my daughter?
No, he just kind of, like, reached over and, like, patted it and, like, just kind of lifted it up a little bit and, like, grabbed it. But
Is he crazy?
I don't know. He seemed like he was pretty straightforward.
How's she doing? Is he married?
Yeah, he's married.
Either way, no matter what his intent is, seems like the kind of guy you want to stay away from.
Just steer clear of him.
No matter what.
Focus on her. And
it just seems very inappropriate, no matter what his intent.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. You want to hear my Joe Pesci from Raging Bull?
I think I know how it's going to go.
You ever heard my Joe Pesci? You ever see Raging Bull?
Yeah.
There was that...
Hit me again.
There's a scene, right? There's a scene where he was in there with De Niro, and he De Niro kept saying to hit him. And he said he didn't want to hit him.
Yeah.
That's the scene I'm going to do. Why you buy all these condoms? What's wrong? How many penis you have? You have five penis? Pretty good, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
You got to do the actual dialogue, though. But
no.
We've had full
I got to do it? Okay.
You have to look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember how that goes. Why you want me hit you again? I can't hit you. I'm your brother. What you mean? Ow, don't hit me. Take that. I hit you. See how you like it now. I cut you open. Yeah, that something like that. Yeah, I have to get the actual dialogue there. I'm going to do, later on, I think I'll do my Tony Montana.
Okay.
I'll do my Scarface.
Okay.
Forrest Gump.
Back at time.
Forrest Gump.
Josh? No, come on.
Life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you get.
Josh, 19.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh.
Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to do Sling Blade now.
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Right.
All right, what's his name? Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah.
All right, Sling Blade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like French fries potatoes. Let's see. All right, here's why. I seen him raping my wife, so I hit him with Sling Blade. Yeah?
It's good. It's all good.
Okay.
Josh, 19.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up? What's your question?
Lately I've been having problems keeping an erection.
Lately?
With the girls.
You never had that a problem before?
I guess about a year ago I was dating a girl, a couple times during sex.
And is this currently with
my erection would go down.
Is this currently with the same girl or with different ones?
I was dating this girl for about a month, and it happened like two or three times. My erection would go down, I couldn't get it back up.
And has it happened with other girls since?
Yes, it has.
Very funny, ha!
And are you nervous?
Oh, wait. I want to do Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. Let's sing that song. Ooh! Matchmaker! Matchmaker! Make me a match! Find me fine! Catch me catch! Huh? Wait, did Tevye sing that? Who sung that? Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah, it's the Daughters, actually.
The Daughters sung that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but from Fiddler on the Roof,
from Fiddler on the Roof,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good times.
All right, what line was this guy on,
too? All right. Josh?
Yeah.
Are you on any medication?
No.
You have any medical problems?
Actually, I was on medication about 4 months ago. I was on a PPD medicine, tested positive.
So you're on INH?
Right.
And you got to take that for like 6 months, though, right?
Right. I already finished
it. You finished that.
Right.
And anything else going on? Are you doing pot or speed or?
No, I don't do drugs at all.
Are you drinking when this happens?
No.
Are you nervous about it possibly happening? I mean, are you thinking about it?
A little bit. I'm not thinking about it, but when it happens, you know, it's like, then it's there, and then
here it comes again.
Kind of stupid and uncomfortable.
Say he's got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, all right. Hey, you got to get a girlfriend. He's got to get in that groove. He's got to get in a rhythm. He's got to find that practice girl.
He's got to be with somebody that he doesn't feel overwhelmed and anxious around. That if it starts to happen again, it's like, well, whatever, it's no big deal. Do something else.
Okay, you tell me what movie this is from.
Okay.
So good my impersonation is.
They've been great so far.
Okay. Let's see how good I am. You can tell me what movie this is.
Okay. Peter Pan.
No. Adrian! Huh? Okay, I'll do one more. Okay.
Stella.
No, I'm going to tell
how
you
about
this.
Stella!
Okay. I'll do one more. Speaking of another Brando. This is from On the Waterfront.
Oh. I could have been.
I could be contender instead of bum, which is what I am. You my older brother. You should look out for me.
These are my toys.
All right. Oh, yeah. What you talking to me? Is that
Taxi driver.
Oh, taxi driver. Yeah,
looking at me.
Yeah. I gotta come up with a few more. I got one more now. You gotta guess what.
He's been stretches for me.
I've been pretty good. You've been able to guess them. You've been guessing. Baby, you are shagadelic. Huh?
Good times.
That's a newer movie. That's my hint.
Annie 20. Annie.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. What's going on with you?
I'm just having a delightful time here.
Hey, Annie, you're 20. You want to know what it means when guys say, I love you, but not in love with you?
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I suspect that means two things. I want to break up, and I don't know how to tell you.
If you're going together, that's what that means.
If you're not going together, it means I want to have sex, but I don't want to have a relationship.
Right. And if you are, it means I still want to have sex, but I don't want a relationship.
Right.
Either way you break it down, it means I'd like to keep sex going, but I'm breaking things off.
Yeah.
Why? Who is this?
Oh, it was just my ex-boyfriend and I dated for like a year and a half, and then all of a sudden one day he says that to me, and I'm like, what?
It's just a crazy way of breaking up. And he may not know why he wants to break up, even he just knows that it's just not doesn't feel right anymore.
All right.
Did he try to keep having sex with you, though?
No, but, I mean, he was like, yeah, we should totally be friends. And I'm like,
yeah,
no
friends.
Way.
That's what you need the translation on. Yeah, friends with benefits is what he's looking for.
He's out. That's it. You're too good for him. You find somebody else.
You find somebody.
You find somebody now. All right, Annie?
All right, thank you.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself. Anyone want to hear any more impersonations? Any more impressions? We got one? Tara? Yeah? You got something? You're just raising your hand? Oh, I see. You want to hear more, but you don't have any more. Let's see. Give me a famous movie. I can do women too.
How about some television?
What is it that you want to do?
Oh, there we go.
We want to be free. We want to be free.
We want to be free to do all what we want to do.
Loaded.
And they get loaded. In a party.
Do.
Away, baby.
And to smoke opium.
We're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a party.
We're gonna have a party. No, okay, I'll give you this one.
Little Gilligan.
Skipper! Bow! Right to moon! Ooh. Yeah. That was a little Jackie Gleason there. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Indeed. All right. Well, that's it. Unwritten Law coming in tomorrow night.
Nice.
We'll be glad to see them again. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Give me your mother effing shoes! Give me your shoes!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.